I heard the Lord today. You know, this is you know, and I felt it was such a moment where I was like, Lord, what does this mean? You know, and I heard it that this is what 100, 125, 150 member church looks like, and I was like, but Lord, you know, we've prophesied, we've spoke, we've declared, amen. We've done those things, and it's not that we abandon or leave those things. Now you know, can I tell you, am I joyful and happy that this is growing to this level? Absolutely, 100%. I make no mistake that we've developed teams, that we have teams going out. We have all that. I'm very happy. I'm very content and as a person of everything that's happened. I'm thankful that we have a broadcast that gets shot around the world. That we have 12, 15 nations. I think Amanda said the other day that watch the broadcast. So I'm thankful for all of that. But I felt something in me rise up today that I hadn't felt it probably in a very long time. And God took me back to a place. He took me back to a place of vision. Because listen, vision is so important for people in this hour. Because people follow vision. People will follow, or they won't follow. You know, you guys understand, people that don't have vision, they don't hook their bus or trailer up to somebody that doesn't have vision. So I felt quickened around that today, and I said, Lord, you know, we've got it. You know, there's a level that we have to move up into, and you know, we expect him to move. But then, okay, Lord, well, then there's a requirement. There's a requirement that God wants us to step into, things that he wants us to do to level up. And for whatever reason, you know, today the Lord quickened me. The Holy Spirit quickened me around just one word, and that was consistency. You know, these are things that we talk about. These are things that we preach about. But it's like there was something inside of me. It was like, you know, one of the reasons why we fail sometimes is because we don't remain consistent with God. And so, I've done a lot of examining of myself, today. And I've repented, you know, before the Lord. And I'm like, God, you know, as a pastor and as a leader of this house, Father, you know, help me. You know, I looked at Miranda today and I said, you know, I just need the Lord's help. Because I believe that what God's asking of us and what God's calling us to is far greater than we can even think or imagine. But see, everything shifts when it's not about me, but it's about others. Everything shifts when, you know how happy I was when I got the message for the two keys. I was like, I'm so excited that we, you know, because I mean, it you know, honestly. And see, it bugs me, you know. I love that you guys are here. You come in and you receive the Holy Ghost, and you're filled up. But what that will do to be able to understand everything that even gets said sometimes is it means the world to me. Whether there were one or two or three, it means the world to me. That the gospel people get it in their language. That people receive everything God has for them. Can I tell you how blessed we are in America? We're blessed. But in that blessing, there's got to be a shifting. There's got to be a shifting in the American church. There's got to be a shifting in our hearts. There's got to be a shifting in our minds. You know, I do this because I love God. Not for any other reason, but I do this because I love God. I'm trying to find a place to jump into this because I shared a few things already at the very beginning. I believe our nation can be healed. I believe this nation can absolutely 100% be healed by God. I'm not talking about peace. I'm talking about healing. I'm talking about the role that a church plays. I'm talking about the role that you and I play. We play one function as the pastors. And you know, listen, I'm not a pastor. I don't want to do everything in the church. If you think that's us, you're highly mistaken. I don't want to do everything in the church. My wife doesn't want to do everything in the church. Have we done everything in the church? Yes, as a church plant, that's where you start. But our job is to equip you to go, to bring, to make disciples. See, that's the goal of the church. You know, we make converts, praise God. I'm thankful we get people saved. We never need to leave that. We never leave the place of you know, getting converts, getting people saved. But above all else, that something on the inside of us gets in us and says, you know, I'm going to make a disciple. Hey, who in here believes that you, before the year's out, you could disciple one person? Somebody that's, I'm not anybody that's in here. Don't look around and say, I'm doing that with sister so-and-so and brother. No, somebody new. How many in here think, you know, God could use me to disciple one person? See, that's the shift that we have to have. We have to internally quit. Look, well, you know, you don't understand what I've got going on. I need to be discipled. Praise God. You get discipled also. But you become a disciple maker. Praise God. Consistency with the Lord is key. Every department we have in this church, we have to work. You know, I'm not, you know, there's a level of excellence. We talk about it. We've preached on it. We've taught upon it. We've had, you know, we do VIP lead stuff. And, you know, that's why I told Miranda, send out a message to all the VIPers. I want them all to catch this because see, we've got to level up. So it's not just your pastors that are required to level up, but it's the layer under that we, you and I, have to level up. That when we come in, we're ready. When we walk into whatever God's called us into, we, you know, driving a bus, I'm using you as an example because you're on the front row. They come ready. You know, and I know you guys pray. You pray, right? You're still praying, right? Amen. Look at my bus people. Where they at? Everyone, my bus people, like, yes, Pastor, we're praying. We're praying. But you know, I told him that's the expectation that we set. You know, before you go out, you guys get praying in the Holy Ghost. When they get on the bus, they know that they've entered into a realm of joy. Hallelujah. And we're doing that, right? Yes. Amen. See? So, but see, that's the thing about leveling up. Because, see, what I need Brother Stephen to do, that anointing that's on him, it's got to rub off on somebody else. It's got to rub off on Justin. And then when Justin gets on, you are on fire, my friend. When Justin gets on fire, stays on fire, is on fire, his hair's on fire, praise God, that anointing rubs off onto someone else. This is what we do on the bus. We pray. We, you know, when you get in the bus, you don't know what, this is a Holy Ghost party before we ever get to church. You know how I know? The two keys get off the bus, they've all got a smile on their face. They're like laughing, having a good time. That's what church should, that's what it should feel like. See, I watch her get off the bus. She's got a smile on her face. We're carriers of the presence of God. It's not a small thing. But guys, listen, it's going to require us across this church to level up. To you know, hey, I'm going to be consistent with God. I'm coming high. If you don't see yourself leveling up or coming high, you'll never get there. You know, listen, you can ride off of somebody's, you can ride off someone's anointing for a period of time. I've seen people do it. I've watched people do it. I've watched people be under ministries, and they go to launch out, and they some have seen go down pretty hard. But you've got to find the anointing of God for your life. You've got to find the anointing for yourself. What God's called you to do. You've got to position yourself. You know, listen, I. I wish I could tell you that this was what I thought that God had called me to do. Pastor, preach. I wish I could sit here and tell you the honest truth to go into a pulpit and share the word. I'm intimidated. The fear of the Lord. You know, Brother Greg come up, and I just was wiping tears from my eyes, thinking, man, if anybody seen me, and here he come around the corner. He was walking real quiet, and I got my head between my arms, just like, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need you. But see, you need Jesus. You're gonna come up. Listen, I'm telling you, you're positioning yourself to come up higher. And it's beyond. It's like, you know, these are things that you know. These are things that we learn. You know, it's why even in Revelation chapter, you know, chapter 3, when he's talking to the church, return to your first love. Don't forgo the things that he's shown you to do. Don't forgo. Somebody else is going to get it. Somebody else will take care of it. Man, that's the thing. See, it's not just the excellence, but it's the responsibility. Because see, God's calling a church to be responsible. Man, I asked Pastor Brandon coming down the road. I feel like I've lost my voice for the day. I said, What was it about the calling? What was it that you knew? What was that moment that you knew that you were abandoning everything that we had done? We'd been in business, but you knew that you were stepping into a whole nother thing. And you know, and God had given her a passage. And she said, I felt, and she still feels, I'm paraphrasing some of the story, that I was going to be responsible for the people that God brought under me. That's the fear of the Lord. We felt that in Hana, and I'll be honest with you, I feel it even greater even here in West Virginia. That the people that come under us, I want you healed. I want you delivered. I want you set free. I want the anointing of God upon your life. If God calls you out to plant a church, I want it to be bigger than the one I'm planting. We're not planting a church anymore. We are a church. We're planting one in Kentucky. That's a plant. Pastor Brad, you've been talking about church plant now for 6 years. We're not really in a church plant anymore. We're a church. But we need other churches planted. But I said, what was it? What was it that you felt? She said, I felt a responsibility. And see, that's what has to come upon each and every one of us, a responsibility for whatever God's put you in and positioned you in, a responsibility. That you know, I'm gonna be the best. Guys, what am I asking as a pastor? I'm asking you to be the best that you can be. Be the best that you can be in whatever God's given, whatever position he's given you. You know, I was talked about the Bema Seat of Christ, that there are books in heaven that record the things that you do here. God is graceful and merciful, yes. It's not like he's holding your sins and things like that. But the things that you do here are kept in heaven. Are those things going to get burned up in the fire, or they're going to be rewards for you? It's a different mindset. It's an eternity mindset that we position ourselves for. I'm not just positioning myself here on earth, but I'm positioning myself to have my eyes upon heaven. That I can have a great impact. That you and I can have a great impact. I remember when Jonathan told me, you know, as we were in the missions field for 18 months. And he was like, you know, maybe you'll be there 3 or 4 years. And God will use you guys, and you guys will have a great impact. And there'll be rewards for you in heaven. And I don't think he knew whether we were going to stay 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. We just told him we were called to go. We were going to be obedient to God. And even coming back home, I knew that we were called back home. Called to an area, called to a region. Why? Because I know God wants to break things open. You know, Pastor, you would say, you know, I'm a nobody. I was a nobody. I was a nobody. First generation Christian. I didn't grow up in this. I didn't grow up in church. I realized very quickly I needed everything the Lord could give me. Then some. You know, people. God will take a first generation Christian, and show them things and heal them and heal them so that the you know, and please hear this, so that your children don't have to go through it. That you break those things off. You are responsible to break those things off. See, when we begin to look at it that way, it's like, man, that's a whole nother level. My kids aren't going to go through what I went through. You know, I'm not saying I had a horrible childhood. That's not even about, but I'm not going, they're not going to deal with it, with sin like I dealt with sin. We're going to pray. We're going to break those things off early. Casual Christianity. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. We've got to be ready. You know, I've seen it. I've seen it prophetically. I've seen it. But even with prophetic words and prophetically, when you begin to see things, it's going to require you to walk those things out. It's just a word until it manifests. And you know, you made a good point earlier today. She was like, could you imagine that, you know, Isaiah prophesied, for unto us a child would be born from a virgin. Could you imagine being the one to write that in a book? Could you imagine that you would utter those words? What do you mean a child's going to be born of a virgin? That's not possible. But did God choose somebody else to write that, and Isaiah was the first one? Is God choosing you or asking you to be the first one to hit your neighborhood with flyers? Is God asking you to be the first one to go to the mall? I mean, I heard the other day kids went to the mall and prayed. Praise God. You guys go after it. You keep going after it. You go have Bible study there. You know, are you going to be the first one to step out and say, you know, I doesn't care what people think, but it cares what God thinks. It cares what God thinks. You know, I ask that it, out of tonight, I ask one thing as your pastor. And if I'm your pastor, I'm your pastor. If you don't know whether I'm your pastor, please come and figure out how you come into this thing. Please, the one thing that we don't want there to be any confusion. None at all. I, not hurt by it by any means. But please understand, God needs a body in operation right now. That we're going to take ground. We're going to take ground for the kingdom of God. I know many of you say, well, I'm your pastor. We're here. You guys are here on a Sunday night. But do you understand that there's the leveling up that God wants the church to come into? He wants the church to come into it. He doesn't want you broke, doesn't want you hurt. He wants you healed whole, made well, so others around you can be affected by that. That's what he wants. He wants a complete being. A complete being. I don't know why I go over and look at my notes. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew 7. I want to share this passage. Matthew 7, verse 21. This is what the church, this is what the church is looking at. And this is Jesus. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. He who does the will of the Father in heaven. Can I tell you about the will of God? A lot of times it's in the baby steps. We have to be willing to start in the very place that he has us. We never seen pulpit ministry at the very beginning. Many times we said, we were in a place in the church where we served for 14, 15 years. We did it all. Run kids, did this, did that. We were part of the church that way. 1 week mission trip. Everything shifts in our life. Missions, things like that can happen in your life. Position yourself. One thing in your life can shift everything. One meeting in church can shift everything. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, let me back up, sorry. Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. So it's important that we do his will. His will. You think that, guys, listen, God's will, you say, well, I'm just a kid's aid. Oh, my. That's a big job. That's a big job. I remember the first time I walked into Miranda's classroom when she was teaching. I don't know how she did it. I walked into a classroom and there were 30-some kids, ages 3 to 8, and they were all sitting down. I was like, did you give the kids sleeping medication or what's going on? They were all sitting down. But it was there was an anointing, and they were listening to preaching and teaching. And I remember when she started teaching the little kids about tithe and offering, and the parents come in and said, what's this about you teaching our young kids about tithe and offering? They're asking if they can give every week now. You teach the kids like you want them to grow up, amen? You teach them young. And Miss Bev, you guys do, Erica, you guys do, Krista, you guys do a great job. I walk in back here with the little babies. What I see is nothing but pure joy. But you think, that's a big thing in the kingdom of God. Think about it. When we go to another place, that's got to multiply. Everything has to multiply. You're Miss Bev, we always tell, put your eyes on other people that can come and be a part of and help. Miss Brenda brings pizzas to the youth. Come in one night, there were 78 pizzas in the back kitchen. Where did those come from? Miss Linda blessed the youth. There's only 12 kids. They'll get 12 pieces a piece. Is she even here? I don't. She's not here. Praise God. Calling her out tonight. But do the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father. If you're not willing to do the little thing, guess what? It's going to be hard to take on the big thing. It's hard to elevate. It's hard to be promoted if you're not willing to do the little thing. Do it with a diligence. Do it with a readiness. Be ready. Amen. Be ready. Be ready. Pastor Miranda looked at me today and she said, we were talking. I was like, sometimes I need God, right? We need God. But I'm telling you, Saturday, it's both of us are shut up in a room. We're getting ready. It's not just Saturday. We begin the week to get ready for a Sunday. This is the main event. This needs to be the main event in Marion County on a Sunday morning. The church is the main event. We're the main event. So I come in ready. I come in fueled up. I come up on. I'm ready. I'm ready to come in and pray. I'm ready. Thank God. Thank you for participating in two services. It's a long day. It's a long day, we're going to have coffee. Get your coffee. Get back in place. We're going to do those things to make it available for people. I know, do you ever get tired? Yes, I get tired too. But you're not doing this to please me. You're doing this to please God. That if one person comes in here and gets saved on a Sunday morning, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., one person gets saved. Is it worth it? Would we all agree that it's worth it? That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Then we get them plugged in to a life group. Then we get them plugged in somewhere, Life groups, the backbone. It needs to be the backbone of this church. Making disciples. That's what God's called us to do. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I don't want that to be us. Pastor, that won't be us. I listen, We've got to have such a zeal and passion for the things of the Lord. Oh my. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will like him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. It's Jesus. He's talking to us. He's saying, don't be a foolish man. Build your house upon the rock. That when things happen, that when the waves come and the things come again, build your house upon the rock. You know, and I'm going to tell you, building your house upon the rock, you've got to be consistent. If there's one thing that I've learned about being in faith and being a Christian for any amount of time, you've got to maintain, you've got to be consistent with God. In everything that you do, you've got to be consistent and do it with a diligence. Do it because you love Him. Do it because you love Him. If you're on a team, you're on security, you're ushers, whatever. Do it because you love Him. That has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Him. Be your best. Do your best. Be the best that you can be. That's what God's looking for. Amen. Pastor Brad, be the best that you can be in the pulpit. That's how I'm praying. That's what I'm believing. Brandon, be your best. Be the best that we can be. Be the best in Jesus. That's what causes us to level up. Because listen, when we get complacent and stagnation and all these things that the enemy throws in, when those things begin to happen, we just, you know, we somebody else will do it. We get into the mindset, you know, I'll just go here. It's easier. A lot of times it's not that it's easier. I've found many times the problems in life that I have, there's one place that I can go to get my problems taken care of. And it's not my wife. It's not, you know, I'm glad I have a labor that's with me. Amen. I'm glad that I have a helpmate. And it's great that I can run things by her. But I have a wife, and I'm thankful for that. But there are times that I have to go to the source. Amen. I have to go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he, you know, and what he does is he pulls me back in. I was thinking about this today, and I was just thinking about times where the Lord was showing me how to be consistent with Him. And I would do the weirdest things. I've always liked driving. I would get in the car, and I don't even know what happened. Maybe we were fighting. I don't know. Miranda might have gotten a fight. We were married. Nobody ever fights, right? You know, amen. You know, there was you know, for whatever reason, there was something going on. We had been in an argument. I believe it was an argument now. So anyway, I just get in the car and I start driving. You know, I'm looking around CDs. You guys don't know what CDs are. I know you don't. Get Papa CD in. Michael W. Smith. Oh my, you talk about some deep worship, right? I put it in and I head up. I go out, a lot of back roads in Ritchie County, they just circle back around. You can go one way and back all the way through a country road and then back up where you started. I mean, it's just how Ritchie County was, and you knew these roads because you used to go on them in mud and do all that stuff. But anyway, I start down this road, and I put Michael W. Smith in, and I'm listening, you know, and I'm like, you know, Lord, I don't feel like worshiping. I feel mad. I'm going to stay mad. I put that CD on, and all of a sudden, I'm going back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I begin to bawl. I begin to cry, and I said, Lord, I repent. You know, I was like, you know, yeah, I'm a bad husband. I know I got mad. I got angry. You know, but, I felt like it, Jesus. I felt like it. You understand, don't you? I mean, did anybody else have conversations with the Lord? Like, I did. Because I realized what he was doing. He was wanting me to be consistent in life, to make me better, to make me stronger. When God called us to work with a couple or couples later in life, that we're like, you know, no, this stuff really works. Get consistent with God. You know, people say, well, I need marriage counseling. Get in church. Get in church. I promise you in this house that, you know, you'll get marriage counseling. If you pay attention to the word that's being preached. You've got friendship problems, get in church. God will help you with friends. It's you got to do the will of the Father, though. You if he calls you to repent, repent. Do those things. What the Bible tells us to do actually works. I don't want fake Christianity. I don't want to serve a fake Jesus. I don't want to serve a God that I know that he loves me. But I'm telling you, he's calling me to be clean, to be holy, to be in the right mind. To go after this thing with a tenacity. To call a people into that same area. To call you into that same area that we can be better together. Thank you, Joe Biden. Better together. That was Obama. Better together. It's a great slogan. We are better together. You're not alone in this thing. Quit acting like it. You know what? Isolation, a lot of times it turns into selfishness. You know how I know? I've been there. You know, isolation, you get selfish. Mine. I remember at times, at points in my life, I was broke. I needed Jesus. But it made me selfish. I wasn't a giver. I was probably more of a taker. I had problems. You know, where I went to my problems was in a beer bottle. My kids, you know, that's how I cleared myself up. I'll just drink away my problem. Started out just on weekends. Well, you know, there's Tuesday night. There's two for two. Thursday night, you can get happy hour at, you know, one of the places. You know, next thing I know, I'm drinking 5 days a week because there's a special somewhere. Put myself in a bottle because I thought that's what everybody does when they have problems. Didn't know how to call upon the name of Jesus. Selfish. I'm not selfish anymore. He pulled me out of that. He broke that foul thing off my life. Man, I God's real. God's real. He is very real. Guys, I tell you, we're moving to a place very quickly. Very quickly. Where God's going to require us to get on the bus. I don't have the full picture or the full answer for all of this now. You know, I need your best yes. Honestly, as a pastor, you know what you need from a congregation? You need their yes, but you need, I'm committed. I'm committed to the vision. I'm committed. You know. I told Pastor Miranda just vaguely. I said, you know, even like with the 12-120, I'm committed to the vision. Whether anybody in this house is or isn't, I'm committed to that. That's what this church is about. We're committed to a King's vision. I hook myself to Dr. Morocco. If you're in this church, you've hooked yourself to Pastor Miranda and I. This is what we're doing. This is who we are. We're not any other denomination. We're a part of King's. I got rebuked. I got rebuked and corrected one time. Great man of God. Great man of God. You know, because at times, even in ministry, you'll think, well, did I make the wrong decision? And you know, the man of God, you know what he did? He said, you made a decision. Quit being double-minded. Quit being double-minded. Quit having one foot here and one foot there. You can't live that way. You can't live with one foot, well, I'm going to be a part of this group and a part of this group. You made a decision. Stand by your decision. God will honor your faithfulness. And I was like, oh, that sounded kind of hard. But honestly, I could sit here and say that I was learning, but I heard loud and clear. I heard loud and clear what that meant. Don't be double-minded. You know, double-minded man, the Bible says, is unstable in all their ways. They're just all over the place. Don't be double-minded. Know that you know. Believe what you believe. I tell you, I say all this tonight that I have never felt what I feel for the body of Christ. A love and compassion. I do. I feel such a love and compassion for God's people. But I feel love and compassion for as many unsaved people right now as that are saved into this church. That's the shift. Guys, we got to get ready for the harvest. You and I got to get ready for the harvest. You know, I asked team leaders to be here tonight. Team leaders, you got to get ready. You've got to be ready for the harvest. You've got to up your game. If I'm going to have to up my game, you've got to up your game. We've got to up our game. We've got to multiply teams. There's things that we got to do. There's things that we got to do. Amen. We do it together with a joy. We've got to position ourselves and up our game. It's going to take you have to be consistent. You know, my dad always used to tell me, son, don't. My dad used a different word for it, but don't half just do things. That's the best way to put it. Don't half just do things, son. Because you're never going to see the results that you want to see. If you come in one week and you do it right, and the next week you do it wrong, you're not winning at this thing. You're only going backwards. And my dad would throw out those one-line zingers like that. You know, you don't be that person. Don't just half do things. Do things right the first time. That's how you learn. You'll have to show somebody else how to do it sometime. My dad wasn't in church, but I felt like he was a prophet. Amen. You're gonna have to do this stuff so you can show somebody else how to do it later on. Yeah, your dad, you're right. So get all in. Get all in for Jesus. Get all in. And whatever area you're working in, get all in. Guys, listen, you know whether you're in or you're not in. Being in is not confused. It's not a confusing look. When you're in something, you're in it. Does anybody question Moran and I's faithfulness to Kings? Do you come in here and say, I don't know if they... Do you question that? We pray every morning for Dr. Morocco. You guys pray for me. You know, false humility. I used to have a hard time with that. Now I'm thinking, praise God, I'm thankful I have a group of people praying for me. But you know what pride, that's what pride does. Pride would be like, yeah, I just don't want you to pray for me. I'm the pastor. I need to pray for you. Shut up, Brad. Shut up, you fool. That's what a fool says. That's how a fool talks. A fool talks like that. You know, anything, I talk to myself. Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. You know, but that's how a fool speaks. Don't be a fool. I want to tell you because in November, we've got to get ready to move quick. In November of this past year, I felt it. I felt the anointing. I see the people. I see the people. I see what God wants to do. I see what God wants, absolutely 100% what God wants to do in West Virginia. And I spent 3 months looking for facilities. I mean, honestly, you guys think I'm crazy. I have I've been to Bridgeport. I've been, you know, why would you plant a church here? I'm doing what I feel God's telling me to do. We need bigger facilities to help house the harvest. We're building a building, right? We're doing that too. How you build a building? Looking for a building. How you plant in a church? God. How do you do all that? It's Him. Well, don't you have time for your people? Yeah. Every Sunday we have time with our people. Miranda and I are going to be in this pulpit. Miranda and I are going to be here. Loving, preaching, giving you the word. You know, and if we're not here, we're going to put somebody we trust in the pulpit that's going to share the word. We pray about this stuff. We don't, it's like, well, yes, roll the dice, see who we're going to throw up in the pulpit. We don't do that. We pray about this stuff. You know, I get so excited when people, you know, this is the excitement that I believe is getting ready to come on the body of Christ. Pastor, I feel like the Lord's calling me. I feel like the Lord's speaking to me. I feel like the Lord's showing me. That's what I'm excited about. Because that's where the breaking begins. That's where the breaking begins. Better together. Let's do this thing. When we come in, whatever capacity you're serving in, be the best that you can be. Be the best that you can be. Amen. Can you be better? Yeah. Who in here can be better? Then do it. For those that didn't raise your hand, I'm joking. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be me. I don't feel like we deal with that here. We're not dealing with that kind of pride. Ain't nobody going to tell me. That kind of stuff doesn't last here. It's been here. It just doesn't last here. You know, you guys, you know, pastoring sometimes, you know, people come in, they want to tell you what to preach. They want to come in and tell you where you need to go. So you don't go to the hospitals, huh? You know, to be honest with you, we don't have a lot of people in the hospitals. Do I go to the hospitals? Yes. But you know what we've done? We created in our church people that will go to the hospitals. That I can call Brother David when David's in Morgantown and say, Brother David, can you go check on this person? He's an arm of the church. You create that culture. You guys get this because you replicate who you are. I need Minister Lehow and Kalai, and you guys replicate worship. You raise up worshipers. Two Keys Choir, we're going to have it. Amen. Amen. And Seema, we're going to have a choir for you all. Amen. How do we do that? We just make it happen. We begin to do it. We put the things in place. No time better than the present. Amen. We need another bus. You know, we raised $22,000 in 5 months. Don't tell me God can't move. 4.5 months. Drove to Grafton. We paid cash for it. Could have made $6,000 the day we bought it. The day after. Will you sell that van? We can't find vans like that anywhere. No, we're going to keep a hold of it. And the thing is still worth $20,000. We paid $21,000 for it. And we need another van. I told our transformation ministry this week, you're going to start taking up offerings in transformation. It's for the next van. Give people an opportunity that are coming off the streets to plant seed and sow for the very way that people got there and used that. You know, Stephen's a bus captain, runs in a part of the bus ministry. And I know he doesn't mind me sharing this, but that's he came on the bus. Then he got a car. And then he got a house. Then he got a job. And now, you know, just stand up, because I seen it last week. Father, I pray, God, that you give the mind for business in Jesus' mighty name. Father, that which you put in him, Father, the zeal and fire and passion, it's not only around ministry, but I pray business over his life in Jesus' mighty name. Father, position him. Father, Lord, that he would break the back of the devil, even around poverty. And Lord, that spirit, I command it, Lord, even out and around him through family, that God, you would use him. Father, even people he's ministered to in jails and prisons, family members, Father, that you would use him mightily. That God, he would even say, I have a job for you, but this is what you're going to have to do. So Father, I pray for that anointing to be upon him tonight in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I seen it last week, and you know, it's funny because another brother confirmed it. You know, I never did tell you yet, but call me this week. We need to talk. Call me. If I, as a pastor, say call me this week, what am I asking you to do? Why is that important? It's because God's put something on my heart to release in you. But if you're not willing to take, Pastor only asked me to call. Set up time and meet with him. You think, I'm not doing it because it's a nice thing or a nice gesture. I have something I want to pour into you. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, you know, Brother Chris, his car broke down yesterday. He was on his way to the church. Praise God. He comes through the door just full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And my phone was down here and I didn't get his message. His car broke down on the way to here. He had had problems the previous day. And he come through the door. I mean, you could just tell. Sweat, everything. But there was the power of God was all over him. Brother Chris, you okay? He was just like, you know. And somebody said, did you have to walk here? And he was like, Yeah, I got picked up, and you know, you could just tell the power of God was all over him. And you know, and it was like I grabbed Laren and because I felt like the Lord said, now minister. We worked all day yesterday, but now minister to be a minister. That's why you know, Brother Jesse, pick him up. We go. It's to minister. Iron sharpens iron. Brother Don and I go play golf. What do we talk about? We don't talk about ministry. We have a good time, laugh, and play golf. We're not trying to solve the world's problem. We're trying to solve how far we can hit an 8-iron. And right now, it's not very far for me. We laugh. We have fun. We set our goal. We're going to shoot under 90. We probably had 95. But that was it. You know, what did you guys talk about? Nothing. Golf. You know, but back to Brother Chris, because, you know, he come in and he was just like, you know, he was just, I could see it. He was full of faith. My car broke down. Where's it at? Well, it's on the interstate. Okay, well, you know, he was here to work. He was on his way to be a part of the team to work. And, you know, the first thing he does is he comes and he says, what can I do to help? And I'm like, I'm thinking, okay, we're at the end of the day. Let's go get your car, brother. Because I got some things I want to get done. But, you know, I just went upstairs and sat because he wanted to work. He wanted to come and be a part of what the church was doing. He wanted to come and be a part of what the church was doing. He wanted to play a part. You guys, that's not small. Because see, in heaven, I see a book. Brother Chris, he walked another extra mile. His car broke down because he wanted to be in the house of the Lord. I see it in a book. I see it in God. I see it in his book. I see it in his book. Because he was hungry. That's what hunger looks like. It's got a different look. That's got a different look. You stay hungry. That's got a different look. You know, and I mean, honestly, it was like, we go get his car. I said, let's pray. We get off the exit with Goshen, and we have to turn around, and his car is not like, if Brian was actually with me and Laren, he would have like, Laren, I don't even know where to tell you to go. Jump down over the hill another 45 yards. You know, he was safe, Brother Brian. But I was like, you know, we're in kind of a crazy section of the road here. And I said, Laren, you're going to be our lookout. Laren was like, what? I said, you're going to be our lookout. But, you know, stand right here because this is a good place. Brother Chris and I are going to lay hands on this car. And we're going to pray and this car is going to start. We take the jumper cables. We jump it. Car starts right up. Shut the hood. Let's go. It's running. We go to the next exit. The car shuts off. Next exit. Car's there. Go talk to the guy. Can we park the car here? Guy says yes. Laren and I, here we are. We're in the back of the car, shoving the car up the hill. And I said, you know what? We need to, you know, I'm just believing. I don't know, Brother Chris, I just believe in God's going to send somebody along to help us push this car. Laren and I are back there. You know, my shorts are coming. I mean, you know, anyway, Miranda, you'd have been, it's not a proud dad moment or husband moment. You know, and I'm just like, you know, trying to push the car. No belt. It was ugly. It was ugly, I'm sure. Next thing I know, I hear these two guys jump out of a car. Boom. This guy, I look up, and he's like 6'5". He looks like a linebacker for the San Francisco Giants. And another guy beside Laren. I mean, like, these guys are big. Next thing I know, we're like, the car's going, whoo. We're like barely pushing the car. The car's barely moving, and all of a sudden, the car takes off, and I'm thinking, we're going to hit the gas pumps. We're going to hit, because he's got a power steering, and we're going to hit the gas. We're going to run smack dab into the gas pump. And Chris is up there, he's turning, you know, we get the car in. I was like, boy, that was easy. I look at the guy, and I was like, thanks, bro. I gave him a hug, and he was like looking at me, and he's like, little guy, what are you doing, you know? I'm a football player, poop, you know. Make disciples. And Pastor Christie shared with me. He said, you know, a year ago, he said, I'd have been a mess. I'd have been so mad. I'd have been so angry. But Jesus. But Jesus. But Jesus. And here, I don't know how you got here tonight. Praise God. Car's running. No. You got a ride. Praise God. That's it, Brother Justin. A brother helping a brother. We see how this thing works, right? A brother helping a brother. Drop Brother Chris off. We're going to pray. Your car's going to get running. Things will get figured out. So, you know, Laren and I start talking. He's like, I've not seen this side of Morgantown. Well, let's cruise around. I'd already told Brother Chris, you know, it's a good day for ice cream. I'd already made up my mind. And I'm sorry I didn't take you to get ice cream. I should have. But it was like, it's a good day to get ice cream. So I'm driving through the back part of Morgantown. I was like, man, I think Cold Stone Creamery's downtown Morgantown on High Street. Laren, I should go get ice cream. You know, what am I doing? We're talking. Guys, you understand that's ministry? You're building a relationship. You're building a bond. We're not having holy moments or anything like that. We talked about a few things around faith. You're imparting. That's what we're doing. We're making disciples. You know, we're making disciples. That's what we're doing. We're making disciples. That's what you're doing. You're making disciples because, you know, he'll return the same favor. Laren will do the same thing when he gets older. He'll put somebody in his car and say, I remember when that, yeah, maybe, praise God, you'll be a pastor. Amen. I remember that when, you know, Pastor Brad just said, come on, let's go. We're going to go for a ride. You're going to go help me. That's the stuff, that's the things that we do. We, not just me, but we the church, we do these things. We to build the body up. And you know, praise God. You can live here, guys. You can live in this place of, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about the goodness of the Lord. What he's done for me. And what he's doing with the congregation. I got to tell you, please step up. Step up now. Now it's time to step up. It's not time to shrink back. It's not time to, you know, it's just gonna be myself. You know? We've got to now step up. You know, we're in a go team meeting even last week, you know, and I said, you know, listen, we have to change the little things that we need to do as a body, how we communicate. We've got to change that. And it's not a personal thing. It's not Pastor Brad. You know what a good father does? He brings correction and he disciplines in love. And anybody who was in that go team meeting that night, you know, you're like, man, you might have stepped on my toes a little bit, but I wasn't coming from a place of anger or bitterness or strife. I was saying, guys, communicate. If you're going to be somewhere, talk to somebody and let them know. It's why I always said we're not sending somebody out on the streets by themselves. We don't do that. That's how we operate. We want people to be with people. Why? It's because they're strong. There's a model in the Bible. It's a good one to follow. That's why. Jesus did this way. You know, things that we do. That, you know, and I just asked the team, guys, communicate. If you're not going to be in a meeting, let someone know. If you're going to cancel something, let people know. I'm not going to be there. I'm not mad. I can't believe they're not coming. I don't have time to think that way. You know, one time I think about, you know, is everything okay? Do you need prayer? Or is everything okay? Yeah, everything's good. Okay, praise God. You had something come up. You got games with the kids. Whatever it might be, it's fine. You know, and it's not Pastor Brad wanting to be up all in your business. It has nothing to do with that. But see, if the body of Christ doesn't learn how to communicate, doesn't learn how to work together, we just look like we're falling apart all the time. We just look like we're in pieces. Got the Holy Ghost, but we're just in pieces. You know, that communication is vital. Vital. You've got something going on. You've been hurt by somebody or something. You know, it's somebody in the church. You know, you clear that up. There's a biblical way you do things. I don't even feel like there's that stuff going on. But there's certain things that if we do these things according to what the Word tells us and teaches us to do, we don't have to stay in a place of distress or a hurt place or even a hard place. We move on. God wants us healed. He wants us healed. I mean, I could tell you story after, you know, even another story. I felt the Lord was like, you know, I remember a time that I was in church and I felt like God told me to go minister to people in our community. But I got in the way. I, Brad, got in the way. Well, what am I going to go tell them? You know, like, you know, because I'm in a lot of positions in the church, and sometimes the church is kind of, you know, sometimes it looks wild, sometimes there's these things going on, you know, sometimes they pray in tongues, and I don't know how to explain that. You know, nobody's, you know, they might pray in the Holy Ghost, and I know it's going to rub that person the wrong way. They're going to talk about marriage. They're going to talk about homosexuality, or, you know, how am I going to, you know, I know that that's going to rub them the wrong way. And you know what? You know, the Lord convicted me. He said, I will build my church. It's not my church, it's His church. So the fact of the matter is that it took me sitting in services really to learn that. Because when the Holy Spirit would come upon me, it wasn't coming upon me like somebody else. See, the Holy Spirit will do a work with people. He'll do a work with the hearts of people. It may be different for Brother Stephen. It may be different for each of us. You allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. And I repented, Lord. We're being perfected in God's image. To be strong. To be strong for people. I'm gonna, you know, listen. We're moving. We're gonna move now. Okay, we're getting ready to come into to some new things. It's gonna require you, in your commitment. It's gonna require you. I'm ready. I come ready. My wife doesn't come into this pulpit unready. We've got general rules on a Sunday morning. We generally don't talk to each other. Not that we don't like each other. We just, you know, you get in the anointing. You rest in the anointing. You know, we need our teams to, your teams need to operate that. No, we're ready. We're prayed up. We're ready to go. Ushers, greeters, you know, we're prayed up. We're in our team huddles. We're doing that stuff. I hope that stuff's still going on. I haven't checked in a while. If it's not, start it back up, please. A church that prays together stays together. Communicate, communicate, communicate. If I'm asking for something, please get back with me. Your time's valuable. I will respect your time, but please respect my time too. Respect Pastor Miranda's time. I'm not saying that people aren't like that, but But we've got to move now. There's things that are going to happen. We've got to move very, very quickly. God wants to do this through us. Man, we've got to look different, right? You know, I mean, it's not faking it till you make it. No, we get in it. We work hard right now. I don't want to fake anything. I don't want to serve a fake Jesus. I don't want to have a fake personality. Don't want to put a. I want to have a smile on my face because I love Him. I want to because the joy of the Lord rests upon me. Hallelujah. I didn't know how tonight was going to go because I knew that I, as your pastor, needed the Holy Spirit. I want to close this way tonight because, minister, if you would, just come to the keyboard. I want to close this way tonight because, listen, you know, many of you know, you know because the Holy Spirit, He highlights the things that we need to work on, right? I mean, He really does. He'll highlight, ba-ba, there it is. There's the highlight. But when we get over into our flesh and we get into another way of thinking, or maybe we get around people that you know, sometimes we want to get around people that you feel like think like you. Well, you know, I can call so-and-so because they feel the way I feel. People do that with church all the time. They'll compare churches. They'll compare Kings with Center Branch. How are they different? You know, they do this, they do that. They'll compare us with Calvary. You know, they do this and they do that. And just get out of the comparison thing. I don't care, minister, I'm going to have you play for, I don't know, just 10 minutes. If he feels to play longer, he can play longer, but I don't want to even put a time on it. I don't know, but I feel like you need to, you know, for you tonight individually, get personal with God. If you want to run out of here, you got to go home. You go home. I'm not upset. I'm not, you know, you say, I'll work on my list when I get home. Praise God. But there's got to be a time. And I believe that's upon this house where you begin to make things personal with God. You know, if I'm all in and I'm ready, God, this is my level. This is where I'm willing to go. You know, if there's anything even tonight that God's highlighted, that I need to up this. I want you to take your phone out, maybe a notepad, whatever you have. I mean, just, you know, this is, I'm going to move. This is going to move. You know, I felt at the beginning of the year in 20, we did the word thrive. That word thrive is a very profound word. And I believe that this house is going to thrive these next 6 months. But I feel like that, you know, today is the check. It's like the check-in. You know, it's the check-in. Okay, what things, how do I position myself to thrive? Maybe you started out gangbusters the first 2 or 3 months out of the year. Return to your first love. Go back and look at those first. What God speak to you? What God tell you? What did He speak to you? What did He tell you to do? You know, maybe you've got to remove some distractions. Maybe there's some people in your life that maybe they're a distraction. Can I tell you, it's okay to tell people that they're a distraction. It's okay to tell people, you know what, I need to pray right now. I got to go do this. It's not, you know, you don't have to be. You're a distraction. You're not going to be, but it's okay. Your name is distraction. You don't have to say that. But it's okay to say, you know, hey, look, this is where I've got to go with the Lord. Are you ready to come higher? Are you ready to come higher? Then it's going to require your participation. Please don't look at me and say, I'm doing everything I can do. You know what I'm going to tell you? You can do more. Because we serve the more God, the more than enough. Can I do more? Yes. That's why I say that. We're coming up. Amen. We're coming up.